Welcome to another podcast from the Royal College of General Practitioners online learning environment. My name is Dirk Pilat and I am the Medical Director for e-learning at the College. As you might be aware, the OLE team recently updated its content on commissioning with two new courses, one on commissioning for palliative care and one on social prescribing and community development. I thought it might be a good idea to gain some insight into commissioning and community development from a colleague who, in contrast to me, engages frequently in commissioning work. So today I'm talking to Dr. David Paynton, the National Clinical Lead for the RCGP Center for Commissioning. Via a rather noisy Skype line, I asked him what was the trigger to suggest this series of e-learning modules.
The trigger for me was really a meeting that I went to about 3 years ago when the Health Reform Bill had just been published and no one really had a clue what it was all about. It was held by the Department of Health, but it was chaired by Lord Aberdour and Turning Point. And Brian Fisher was there, and there was a lot of discussion around the role of community development in taking responsibility for some aspects of their health. I'd done a little bit of work like this around this in my old PCT on participatory budgeting, so I was familiar with some of the concepts, and I'd seen it being put into effect, albeit at a very rudimentary level. But I think that was a light bulb for me, and actually seeing that serious people had thought this through, and it wasn't just a nice idea, but there was a real evidence base that suggested that if you give people some control and ownership, there was a real return on the investment. And I don't want to use the financial terms too much, because people think it's all about money, but actually there was a real return, both in terms of improving the social capital, but also in terms of reduction in use of some of the statutory services. And it wasn't just around health, it was also in terms of use of police and community resources. So I was sold on the concept from that stage, and I've been to a number of meetings over a period of time when those concepts have been discussed, and I've seen examples of it being put into place in other parts of the country. And I really felt this was something we really needed to push, because it was linked very much to the whole new agenda around commissioning. And remember, at the time, the mantra was no decision about me without me. But I thought, well, actually, this should be more around no decision about us without us. And this struck a light bulb chord for me, which made me feel we needed to exploit it, particularly as a college was interested in the whole agenda around reducing inequalities. And it seemed to me that we're never going to reduce inequalities by telling people what to do. The only way we're going to address it is by giving them some ownership over their own health.
I then asked David what were his personal highlights while working with the authors and the college's e-learning fellows.
One of the highlights for me was understanding, and it's a personal understanding, that there's a link between this and the More Than Medicine discussions. Mm-hmm. But More Than Medicine and community development they're very tightly linked, but they're not quite the same thing. And some people saw it in terms of social prescribing, which is part of it, but for me, building up the community assets was more than just social prescribing.
I then asked David to share some examples of his work in commissioning.
Well, as I say, I've mentioned participatory budgeting, where you give people, say, this is your money now, these are the priorities, which ones are important to you, and you create a sort of discussion around it. And I think the benefit is not necessarily the decision they make, but the process by which they go to make that decision, which gives people much greater ownership over the eventual decision.
And now, sorry, David, yes, continue.
And for me, it was about how do we encourage people as a community to take a greater ownership, because we've created quite a dependency culture. Mm-hmm. Always the job to do something. It's the health doctor's job. We created quite a medical dependency model. And for me, building up the community asset was around part of the journey we have to go in terms of reducing that medical dependency model. And if I could just be a bit local, parochial for a second.
Please be.
I've been doing some work around that in the work I'm doing in my own surgery around self-management, where we've actually been working with a community interest company called the West Itchin Trust, who've been doing quite a lot of work looking at vitamin D deficiency in the BME community. And linked to that work, we've for self-management, we've commissioned Age UK to help us support the approach to self-management in the aging Asian population. And Age UK have got an Asian worker who's been working with them, but actually engages with that community probably far better than I'm able to.
Yeah.
Translates some of the many different cultural aspects of their care in a way that I couldn't do. So I'm actually putting it into effect in my own area and seeing the benefit.
And how would a, let's call him or her, cold-faced general practitioner, how could he or she implement the principles of community striving in their own area? Would they have to be part of the CCG or would they have to just approach them?
No, absolutely not. They wouldn't have to. I mean, they are all part of the CCG, but they don't need to have a formal governing body role or a formal clinical lead role. I think there's something about primary care working in communities, but not necessarily with communities. And I think there's the two aren't necessarily the same thing. Although you have to work in the community if you're going to work with a community. I think individuals would they need to see the light bulb themselves. And then I think there are mechanisms, particularly with the Better Care Fund, by which CCGs should be working with communities to support care planning and care management and self-management. And I think the CCG would need, if there was a financial issue in terms of you need to commission a piece of work, then I think individual GPs or as a group in a practice or a group of practices would need to approach the CCG and saying, we would like to see this develop as part of the wider approach to implementing the Better Care Fund.
I then asked David how the college can support its members to get into commissioning.
Well, I see all of these things linked because the college's focus on commissioning is very much about supporting primary care and reducing inequalities, putting primary care at the heart of integrated care. And I think there's a role for the college in promoting those objectives, but also in making our members who are involved in that work more aware of what the potential of community development is all about. Because it's not going to happen because you and I think it's a good idea. It's going to happen because individuals working in their own communities suddenly start to see the importance of this and suddenly start to ask some questions about how can we see this implemented in our area. If they see the value of it, they'll ask the question. So I think there is a role for the college in encouraging our members to see the value. They've then got to ask the questions in their own area.
This call into action for those of us who have not yet engaged directly with commissioning groups neatly brings us to the end of this podcast. I would like to thank Dr. David Paynton for his time and hope this was as enlightening for you, the listener, as it was for me. This podcast was made with Audacity, the free and open audio editor. The introductory music you heard was used with permission from Matt Bianco from the album Hideaway. My name is Dirk Pilat. Goodbye.